Just a few verses from the Gospel according to Matthew. The story of the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate. Matthew 27. And we read from the verse 21. Matthew 27, reading from the verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. The Lord will bless the reading from his word. Face to face with Jesus Christ is the object of the preacher. To bring his hearers face to face with the Savior is the great aim of his ministry. It is not to show forth his oratory. It's not that he might display flights of rhetoric and that he might mesmerize his audience with his own verbosity and the exuberance of his words. It is to bring the souls of men face to face with the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only Savior of the soul, the only one on whom we can rest our souls for eternity. And if I fail this evening to bring you face to face with Jesus Christ, then I have failed in my ministry and I may as well not have started to preach from this pulpit. But I am going to bring you face to face with Jesus Christ. You have come into this church this evening. We welcome you in the Savior's name. But we must be honest with you that it is the purpose of this pulpit to bring you into the presence of the Lord, to show you yourself before Him, but to point you to the Savior. There are many questions that you'll have to answer through life. And there are some this evening, perhaps in the audience, who are looking forward with great anticipation to the next few days, when at university or college they shall be presented with a sheet of paper. At the end of the words, there are little marks called question marks. They will have to answer those questions. On the answers to those questions will depend as to whether they go forward or not, at least at the end of the session, semester, term, year, or whatever you call it, depending on where you go to college or university. You'll have great questions then to face when you step out into life. You will have to question concerning what position you will seek. You will also have to answer the question as to what company you will keep, as to what church perhaps you will join, as to what stand you will take in life for those moral principles in which you believe. You may even, as some of us have already done, walk the aisle on occasion and stand beside another and hear the minister ask the question, Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? There was an old couple who were in their 70s, got married
in a little town called Portland, Oregon, some years ago. The old minister had ministered for about 50 years, and he knew John very well. They were close companions. He was marrying them in this other little church in the other town, and when they stood at the front, he said, "Do you, John, take Mary to be your lawful wedded wife?" He said, "I suppose so, Mr. Jemison. I suppose so." Whether he supposed it or not, that was his answer. And Mr. Jemison proceeded to ask the bride, would she take him? And they were joined together. But the greatest question, Pilate had to face the question. He didn't want to face it. But he had to face the question. And the question was put to himself. Really, he may have been asking the crowd, but the question was ultimately to himself, because he already knew that for envy they had delivered the Lord Jesus. They were out for his blood, and it was a rhetorical question which was really aimed at his own predicament. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And that is the question. On that does not depend your educational qualifications, your position in life, your church membership, even your marriage status. On that is the decision concerning eternity. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And that is the question for you this evening. I am not dealing in the theology of the Bible at the moment. I am dealing with the practicalities of the Bible. And that practicality is, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? As the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate on that fatal occasion, Pilate found himself implicated in a great dilemma. Here was before him he who claimed to be the Son of God. Here was this person who said, "The Father hath sent me." He said, "I am," who identified himself as the Son of the Highest. And Pilate was asking the question on the horns of the greatest dilemma he ever faced. For face to face there stood on the dais that day with him the Son of God. Was this the sent one from heaven whom the Jews had talked about for so long? Their scriptures spoke about, and they looked for with expectation. Was this the Christ? Yes. There stood before him that day him who from the love of God's heart had been sent down into the world of sin to be the Savior of the soul. Was this the substitute for sinners? Was this him of whom the great prophet spoke when he penned the words, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed"? He poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many. Was this he who on the cross was to hang as the only substitute that God would accept on behalf? Was this the Savior? Was this the one whom God had sent forth that he might redeem the people unto himself, that he might break the chains of sin and set them free and give them that blessed hope for eternity. Was this the one who could sanctify man's life, who by the power of his grace could change a sinner from the gutters of his sin and set him washed, clean and pure amongst the princes of God? Was this the sovereign King of Kings? Was this he who by God had created all things? Was this he who for all things, the world was made for him, existed for him, and through whom all things were ultimately directed? And tonight, friend, there stands before you this same person, not in his physical form, but through the Word of God. And by the presence of the Holy Ghost in this meeting, there stands face to face with you the Lord Jesus Christ. And your dilemma is, if this is the case, if this is God's Son, if this is God's Messiah, if this is the substitute for sinners, if this is the Savior of the soul, if this is the only one who can make me holy, if this is the only one who is the God over all, blessed forever, then you are on the horns of a dilemma. And the question for you is, what shall I do then with Jesus? For there's no other hope outside of Christ. Friend, this evening, you've got to answer that question. Oh, the calamity of the error that was made. Here was Pilate, a wrong decision meant that Christ was crucified. A decision that rejected Jesus of Nazareth would see him on the cross. And Pilate's guilt would be forever displayed. Friend, this evening, faced with Jesus Christ to make the wrong decision, is to crucify to yourself afresh the Son of God. Pilate's decision was crucial. It was an inward decision that he had to make. This great interview with the Lord Jesus Christ was an unwanted meeting. Pilate did not want to see nor hear tell of this peasant prophet, this carpenter from Nazareth. But into his presence was ushered the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it was unscheduled in the scheme of his court trials. It was not down in the books, this case to be heard. This person was unknown as far as Pilate was concerned, and he was unprepared to meet the Savior face to face. I tell you, friend, you are faced with Jesus Christ. It may be an unwanted meeting, but whether it's unwanted or not, you're still faced with him. You may say, oh, well, I haven't scheduled this on my plan. I haven't put this into my scheme of things. I don't want to have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. I don't want to be faced with him this evening. Whether you want it or whether you don't, friend, God brought you here. It may be an unwanted meeting. You may be unprepared, as it were, for the message. Unprepared to make the decision. But make it you will. Unwilling was Pilate. Oh, Pilate could dismiss the case. He could say, I am not going to hear this case. Take this man from my presence. He could delegate the consideration of it to someone else. He could say, well, I'm not going to try the case. You get one of the others who are under me to try the case. As long as I don't have to do it, that's what I want. You just get somebody else. It's somebody else's responsibility. Then you can dismiss the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, from your mind and from your heart, but you have made a decision. You may say, okay, that's all right, but somebody else needs to make that decision. Somebody else needs to be faced with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I have to make that decision? It doesn't matter how you question. You still got to do it. You can't dump it off to somebody else. You can't say somebody else is responsible. He made a very unwise move when he found himself in trouble. Oh, he was cunning. He was crafty. Wonderful the tricks that men can get up to when they have to face the Lord Jesus. Men that aren't usually very bright, they can usually find some crafty way of avoiding the issue. He found a nice convenient way out. Somebody mentioned the name of Herod. And he pricked up his ears. Is he of Herod's jurisdiction? That's great. Take him off. And for a little season, he got Christ out of the road. Maybe, friend, this evening, for a little season, you've managed to push the Lord aside. Maybe for a little while, by your cunning and craftiness, you've been able to put off this great decision concerning the Lord. Found a convenient way out. And he thought, oh, this is the end of Jesus Christ as far as I'm concerned. I want to tell you, friend, when God has a scheme, man must fit into that scheme. He couldn't dump the Savior like that. Don't you think that you can dump the Lord? Don't think that you can dodge your way out of the great decision of life. You see, back the Savior came. Man, I can see old Pilate as he sits down and he says to his wife, well, I'm glad I got rid of him. I'll get back to bed and we'll get up in the morning and think no more about it. He goes off to lie down on his couch and the doors rattled and they push into his presence. The same man. Back again. Pilate! You've got to make the decision. Then he went on with the trial and he learnt the pros and the cons of the situation. He did all in his power to find out whether Jesus Christ was true or false. And at the end of the day, he knew the ins and outs of the case. And he knew that Christ was innocent. That Christ was the truth. For he said to the Lord Jesus, what is truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he stood face to face with truth. I get sick of people saying, I'm searching for the truth. The only truth that God ever revealed was the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Bible speaks of him from Genesis to Revelation. That shook all you fellows, thought he was only in the New Testament. This Bible speaks of him. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, and then ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. When you open the book, you're face to face with the Savior. And you weigh the pros and cons. The fors and against, you can only come out with one thing. That Jesus Christ is the Savior of the soul. So what do you do about him? What do you do about the Lord Jesus Christ? Poor old Pilate started to consider the matter, and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll take my stand by the side of Jesus. And he said, well, let him go. The Christ said, you'll do nothing of that sort. You will not let this man go. Pilate said, but what evil have he done? Crucify him! Then Pilate's resolve weakened. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He's on the horns of that dilemma. What shall he do? Here was a man, and standing before him was the one he knew was innocent and true. And he should have said, Christ for me! But no. He never said that. He handed him over, took the coward's way out, washed his hands as if a basin of water could wash the blood of Christ from the guilty conscience. You've read Macbeth, many of you. You remember that the king had been forced by his wife to shed the blood of the old king. And years later he walked the halls of the palace, and the conviction of his sin gripped him, and he had hallucinations, and he walked those stony corridors in the cold of the Scottish night, and he rubbed his hands, and he said, there's blood upon my hands, and all the perfumes of Arabia cannot sweeten these little hands of guilty conscience, because he had shed the blood of the old king. But friend, how guilty is the conscience? How guilty eternally when you wring your hands in hell and say, all the fires of hell cannot purge the guilt of the blood of Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus? All the influences on Pilate, as he looked out that day, and he saw the multitude, the populace before him, they did not want Christ. They represented the world in its sin, and the cry that came continually up was, crucify him! And when Pilate looked at the world, at the populace at his feet, their cry was, reject Christ! And oh, friend, have you looked to the world tonight? Have you looked around you? You'll hear the world say, do not get saved! Strange how old Satan uses the populace to influence us against the Lord Jesus. There was a powers that be beyond him. All those who were up above him in power, yonder in the Roman courts, you can't let this man go. The powers that be do not want this man. What about that person who's your friend? If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. The old devil says to you tonight, if you take Christ, you lose your friend. I'd rather have Jesus as my friend and go to heaven than have the world for my friend and go to hell. And your friends are influencing you tonight. If you get saved and trust this Christ as your Savior, then you lose those who have been your friends. Hallelujah.